Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Ray Hager and I speak with Mary Lau, Paul Enos, Marlene Lockhart, and Joe Gill will wrap up the legislative session on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature build-your-own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big-screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have an amazing power pundit panel here for the whole show. We're going to talk about the session that just ended, of course. And we're here with Marlene Lockhart, partner with the Lockhart Group. Mary Lau is president and CEO of the Retail Association in Nevada. Paul Enos is the CEO of the Nevada Trucking Association. And Joe Gild is the attorney. And I'm along here with Ray Hager. So initial thoughts now that the session is over, Marlene.
Well, I thought it was an excellent session. I thought it was a phenomenal session for women from the beginnings with the ESA or ERA passing and all the way to pay equity to domestic violence legislation and the one bill that was vetoed, of course, was the sick leave provision.
Mary, do you think it was a good session for women?
I thought it was a waste of time going through stuff on these women's issues. Now, I will agree on the domestic violence issues and stuff like that. The ERA was just showing because we can. It was a waste of time. It took up time, and it didn't have anything to do with practicality. And I'm still of the opinion that you do not classify people as victims. Life is too joyous to be considered a victim at all times.
Marlene?
I, of course, disagree vehemently, and we call our domestic violence survivors. And unfortunately, many women, through no fault of their own, find themselves survivors, and many, many women have found themselves dead. So I don't think this session was a waste of time. I think it was very meaningful for women.
Well, I did say domestic violence was one issue I agreed to. And if you allow yourself to become a victim of domestic violence, then yes, you gradually decline into a mode where you need help. If the first starts and you fight it, then that's another story. And I had it happen to me, so I'm speaking from experience.
Understand,
first person
Mary,
I called was my attorney. The second person was my mom.
Okay, how many people have the resources to call an attorney? And we really could debate this, but Mary,
absolutely.
I have to say, for when you said those women that allow themselves, shows to me you have a total lack of understanding of what some women go through everywhere, not just in this state. And I sit on the board. I'm vice chair of the Committee to Aid Abused Women. And it's tragic what we see, and it's tragic for the families. So I'd love to take you there and have you see firsthand some of the experiences that those women have faced.
All right, let's move on to our next topic here. Paulinos, ESAs, it seemed, you know, it was the hill to die for, and nobody died. Was it just a giant smokescreen?
Well, I don't know that it was a smokescreen. I mean, I think that's something a lot of folks, you know, we're trying to get done, especially after the Supreme Court did give ESAs a path forward in this state. So instead of ESAs, we got tuition vouchers, which are funded by Nevada businesses. I've had a lot of my members write six-figure checks for these opportunity scholarships. So I do think that is a good thing. And as a board member for a parochial school where my kids go, we have seen a lot of families be able to take advantage of those vouchers and be able to send their kids to a parochial school, a private school, where they may not have that opportunity before. So I do think, you know, even though it's not ESAs, the fact that we doubled the amount of available resources as a credit, dollar-for-dollar credit for your modified business tax for kids to get out of a broken school and into a place where they can get a better education, hey, I declare victory on that.
The teachers union, of course, declared victory as well.
Well, Sammy, I think it's all perspective. You know, hey, the teachers union says we're keeping this money in public education. You know, they believe that they're the ones that should have a monopoly on education and on those dollars. I disagree with that. I do think parents are the ones best equipped to make those educational choices for their kids, not the teachers union and not necessarily the government.
Marlene?
I just want to point out what you've just heard here is already the spin that the Republicans are going to invoke after this session. If opportunity scholarships were the Republicans' priority, that would have been in the budget the governor submitted, and that would have been discussed all session.
Well, again, Marlene, you know the session is all about compromise, right? And you don't always get what you want. I mean, I've been there for this was my 20th year in the legislature. I know you've been there a little bit longer. So, you know, it is all about compromise. The fact that we have doubled the amount of money available for kids to be able to go into private schools out of a broken school system. Hey, I think that is a victory, spin or not. It absolutely makes a difference for a lot of those families who didn't feel they had that available to them before.
You know what I think that makes Republicans look bad is that you have the Senate Minority Leader standing up and say, no ESA and no budget. And all the Republicans that came on the show, Sam, as you know, they parroted what the Senate Minority Leader said. And if you come out, if you say no ESAs, no budget, and you come out with $20 million in opportunity scholarships opposed to $60 million for an ESA, I don't see how you can call that a victory.
Joe?
Well, yeah, but remember, the governor never said he was going to draw a line in the sand on educational savings accounts. So Paul said it just a second ago. Legislative sessions are all about compromise. If you change the name of something and you still get part of what you wanted, I think the governor came out all right. And nobody's going to remember the Republican Senate caucus of the 2017 legislative session, but they're going to remember Governor Sandoval. And one of the things he wanted was more money for families that needed to have support in these alternative school arrangements.
All right, let's take a break. More with our panel. A lot of raw nerves still here right after this.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
call Marilyn Miner Addiction Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And we're back on Nevada Newsmakers with Mary Lau, Paul Enos, Marlene Lockhart, and Joe Guild.
And Paul, Ray Hager. Don't forget Ray.
Yeah, I'm here too. Hey, I just wanted to... Who do you think... Mary, I'll speak with you first. Who do you think was the outstanding legislator and maybe someone who was just the opposite, the one who... it's got to be Mark Menendo. So anyway, but just stay with... outstanding legislator.
Well, I don't know. It's got to be Mark Menendo. That was, I feel sorry for Mark. He does have a problem, and let that go at that. Ivana Cancela, absolutely amazing legislator. She was just dialed in. She worked with everybody. It's kind of a hard choice between her and Cannizzaro, but Ivana was absolutely amazing. And as a freshman legislator, she's a rock star.
And you know, I'm gonna agree with Mary. You know, with everybody she just mentioned. And you know, I will say, I think the Senate is a tremendously more deliberative body than the assembly. You know, the assembly is a little more coarse. They seem to rush things through. There isn't as much deliberation as in the Senate. I think Ivana Cancela and the issues that I dealt with her, and you know, I am a lobbyist for the Nevada Petroleum Geothermal Society, which was opposed to a fracking ban. The hearing that she gave in the Senate was tremendously more fair than the one that was given on the assembly side. And for an urban legislator from Las Vegas to care about rural issues and say, hey, we're going to give you a fair hearing instead of, hey, opposition, we're only going to give you 2 minutes time and that's it, and we're going to cut you off, as was done in the assembly, I think you got to give her a tremendous amount of credit. I say the same for Cannizzaro, Julia Ratti. Mm-hmm. You know, speaking about women's issues, and I don't want to get involved in the previous conversation, I think the four women freshmen that we have in the Senate, Heidi Gansert, including with the others I mentioned, I think they're phenomenal. Phenomenal legislators.
Joe?
Well, I would echo what was just said about Ivana Cancela, because I worked with her on, what was it? We had 13 water bills.
Oh, she went rock star on water.
She really did. Mm-hmm. And I spent a lot of time dealing with her on those issues. And the hearing she ran as a freshman legislator, as a chairman of a major committee for rural Nevada, I thought were the best hearings I've ever seen run by any member.
Marlene?
I have to agree. It's unanimous. She was, again, phenomenal. I think Washoe County can be enormously proud that Senator Ratti is representing us here. She also, I agree with everything that's been said.
You agree with everything I said?
No, just on the last
on that
question.
One. Okay, that's
Paul.
Good.
Let's be clear here. But I would like to say that I think on the Republican side, the real standout was Paul Anderson again. I think he has shown session after session that he can be a real statesman.
Paul, do you agree with that?
You know, I think that, I think that the Republican legislators were, you know, all good for the most part, accessible. I'm very impressed with Jill Tolles in her freshman year, with Keith Pickard also in his freshman year. I think some of the standouts, I mean, you know, for me, I'm a rural kid, so I absolutely have a huge amount of respect for people like Pico Gachea and James Settlemyer, who I think are phenomenal representatives, you know, not just for rural Nevada, but for the state, and try to keep that broad perspective. So I think we're very lucky to have those folks, you know, representing us in the legislature.
And I would agree with all of that. I think the biggest loser of the session, hands down, no debate, is Michael Roberson.
Okay, we'll let Marlene expand on it, but we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Your business workers' comp company should be your partner. The Pro Group customer care team brings you effective risk management training, support, and web tools at no extra cost to you. We maximize the safety of your employees and business every day. Pro Group is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with information and resources at your fingertips. We ensure your employees' safety and that your premium's in line. When you're a Pro Group member, you have the team that's looking out for you. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Call for a no-obligation quote today.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, along with Ray Hager, we have Joe Guild, Marlene Lockhart, Paul Enos, and Mary Lau debating the issues of the session. And Marlene, you brought up before we went to break there, Michael Roberson, as your thought on the worst legislator.
Well, number one, he boxed himself in early by drawing a line in the sand that then when what does happen in the session compromise occurs, he was all session long not changing from that position and didn't even participate in the budget votes and other things. He is the furthest away from being a statesman. He is an angry man in the legislature, and he took it out in terms of legislation with people and did not work across the aisle at all.
Mary?
Well, I disagree on that, of course, and I hate labeling people anyway because sessions are built, like Paul said, on compromise, but they also know that, you know, Ford's going on elsewhere, Roberson's going on elsewhere. So it was a session about mailers, statements, getting ready for the next session. And the line in the sand was drawn deliberatively and deliberately. So he wasn't representing just himself doing that. So it's all staged kabuki theater. And if you get your emotions involved too much, too early, and too often, you lose sight of what the session's all about.
Paul?
You know, I think there's a number of policy bills that did pass the Senate on a party line basis. Michael Roberson led the opposition of those, and although they did fail in getting those things killed in the Senate, those are things that the governor vetoed. So, I mean, I don't think you could say, you know, Michael Roberson had an awful session as the leader of the opposition. There were a lot of policies that would have had some pretty extreme costs, some pretty real impacts on the business community. And he did stand up for him. You know, once again, if you say, oh, this session was all about ESAs, Michael Roberson had a terrible session because of that. I don't think that's true.
We've got
that's what you pointed to.
No, well, okay,
you know,
in
terms of his loss, drawing the line in the sand of ESAs, you know, once again, I mean, I think Michael Roberson is a good legislator who does listen, and he is tough, and you know that's something that you are in the opposing party is you do take those tough positions, and the fact that the governor has vetoed a lot of the stuff that, you know, Michael Roberson is the leader of the opposition in the Senate opposed. I think he can take credit for.
Well, I would just draw the contrast between Paul Anderson, the Republic leader in the assembly, and a statesman-like approach to leading the opposition versus the very emotional style that Cinder Roberson displayed.
Well, and I think we have that, too. I mean, I'll tell you what. I think Marilyn Kirkpatrick's one of the best legislators, you know, I've seen over the course of my career. But there were some things and some action she took last session where, you know, she wasn't very statesmanlike. But that's okay. I mean, that doesn't make her a bad person. That doesn't make her policy wrong or doesn't make her angry. Hey, I think people's emotions absolutely can get a hold of them at times. I don't think Michael Roberson did anything that was out of control. And, you know, in terms of, you know, somebody who is thoughtful and does think about the issues and does care about policy, hey, I give Michael Roberson a tremendous amount of credit. You know, I look at some of the gun bills that he was able to work on with people like Aaron Ford and Patricia Spearman and Nicole Cannizzaro and come to resolution. You know, Senate Bill 124, Pat Spearman's bill on stalking. Yeah, you got to give him credit for being a statesman in working through things like that.
You got to give him credit for knowing the legislative system. And we were talking about Paul Anderson earlier. One thing, I guess a bone to pick with him this year that upset me is that he held a talk in Reno, sponsored by the Reno Gazette Journal. And in that talk to the public, he said that businesses were going to get a tax break on the modified business tax this year because collections went over 104%. And I was shocked that, really? And I went up to him afterwards and asked him again, and he repeated it. And turns
out
that
was part of the bill, right?
But he turns out it's not right. You know, no one's getting a tax break on that.
No,
bill.
But it was part of the bill. If it overproduced, then you wouldn't get the increases. That was the 15th session. Paul was only talking about that. He wasn't talking about giving businesses a tax break.
Okay, yes, he was.
No, that's for credit from your commerce tax rate. So I mean, yeah. It is. You know, Mary's right. I
yeah,
mean, I
it rotates back
necessarily
over.
How that law works, but you were able to get a 50% credit on your MBT if the commerce tax collections
My
are
point
over 50%.
Is that he's talking out of his hat to the public.
Actually, I think you are on this one, buddy, because
That's,
I mean,
well,
I
why,
think
did,
he's
why
got,
did his he's staff
got,
call me and tell
better,
me that
he's,
he was...
He's got a better understanding of how the commerce tax works and what was passed in 2015.
But what he told that crowd
in
Reno, what he told that crowd in Reno, Paul, was incorrect.
Okay, let's declare this an impasse and move on. Just quickly, because we're running out of time here, obviously, we've got about 45 seconds left. The pharma industry and that whole battle, your thoughts on that, Marlene?
Well, I think, again, a hat tip to Ivana Kinsella, who really showed her chops and being able to, even despite a veto, get that through.
Marlene? I mean, sorry, Mary.
Well, that goes to Roberson. He and Ivana started working together. Roberson had the PBM side, and Ivana had the pharma side. So it was a cooperative effort between the two of them. We'll see where it goes. I mean, they followed the directions in the governor's veto message and basically passed a bill that addressed his concerns. Although he did talk about stockpiling, that's illegal by regulation already. But we'll see where it goes. I'm sure you're going to see an industry lawsuit.
All right, and that's where we got to leave it, unfortunately. Thank you all for a terrific discussion. We'll be right back.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything, never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
On the next broadcast, Professor of Economics Tom Cargill will see you then.